Children can be dismissed. Good morning, everyone. Time is flying by. In just a short while, it'll be Christmas Day, and then the new year. Looking back and reflecting on our lives is something that I think we ought to practice on a daily basis. Reflecting on the things that we are thankful for, reflecting on the things that we are being taught by the Lord, things that He is wanting for us to understand more about Him and to grow in our understanding of faith and who He is. And the season of Advent leading up to Christmas Day is, again, a very, very good time to kind of have an even more focused, maybe more intense reflection on why it is that we celebrate Christmas. If you've been to church around the Christmas holiday season, you know, you hear a lot of kind of cheesy, cliche things like, Jesus is the reason for the season. Who here has heard that before? Jesus is the reason for the season. But that's an amen, right? I mean, that's the truth about Christmas. It's not just about family. It's not just about receiving those things that you were hoping to receive as gifts. It's about the person of Jesus Christ. And the Advent season, we've been concentrating on different aspects or themes of what it meant that Christ came into the world. When God the Father, the God that we believe in, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, when God the Father sent Jesus Christ into the world, the Word become flesh, there's this reality that along with Christ came the true hope. A hope for eternal life, salvation, forgiveness, that can only come through the person of Jesus Christ. And so if you look over here, we have candles that have been lit since the beginning of the Advent season, and we have a candle that was lit for hope, and then one that was lit for peace. And today, a third candle has been lit, and that candle is one that is lit for joy. Not worldly joy that is filled with temporary times of happiness, temporary but fleeting emotions, but an eternal, true joy that lasts. That's what is represented by the candle that we have lit together today. It's a joy that is unfathomable, because it is not one that comes from the earth. It is one that comes from God Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so we're going to talk about that kind of joy, because it's a theme that is actually very present throughout the pages of Scripture. And in today's passage, we're going to look at the Gospel of John, and we're going to look into a time where actually the disciples who have been following Jesus Christ around and learning about what it means that He is the Messiah, what it means that He is the one who came to save, we're going to see the disciples actually in a place not of great joy, but actually of some confusion, some despair. And Jesus knows what is to come, because this is before Jesus goes to the cross to die, so that we could have this true hope, so that we could have forgiveness and salvation. And so He's caring for them. He's wanting to comfort them by sharing His love and His word with them. You see, the disciples, they had a lot of expectations about who Jesus Christ was and who He would be. The disciples had an idea of Jesus that if He really is the Messiah and the Savior, then He would rise to power. He would bring the kingdom of God, that Israel would rise to power again. So there were a lot of anticipation, a lot of things that they were looking forward to. And perhaps even in using the word Advent, they were thinking about the advent of that kingdom that would rise in this world. But Jesus, in the way that he came, just as we sang in the song, the humble king, in the way that he came from the very beginning into the world, it was one of humility, one that was a kingdom that was not like this world. Something that was out of this world. That was something that only God could do. And so he knows that the disciples will be in confusion. He knows that they will be in despair. And so he gives this word that we'll look at together today. In John chapter 16, verse 16 to 24, God wants us to hear this message. He wants us to hear this word. And as we do, that we will think about the joy that only God can give to us. John chapter 16, verse 16 to 24. This is Jesus speaking. A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again a little while, and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will not see me. And again a little while, and you will see me. And because I am going to the Father." So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they had wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves? What I meant by saying, 'A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come, but when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would speak powerfully through your word. I pray, God, that as we are here in this place, whether we are tired from a long week of work or stressed because of different things that may be going on in life, that right now we would come before you and that we would be reminded through your word of the amazing joy that for those of us who believe in you, the amazing joy, the everlasting joy, the full joy that you have for us, and that we would be filled with that and that we'd be strengthened and encouraged as we hear your word. We thank you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we think of joy, you know, I don't know what comes to mind, but, you know, you see a lot, at least when I think of the word joy, I see a family together laughing and sharing their time together. Perhaps even like the holidays that we're in the, you know, middle of the season of the holidays and Christmas just around the corner. Maybe that's what we think about when we think about joy. Things that bring to us a sense of happiness, things that bring to us perhaps a sense of satisfaction in life. And a lot of times for the world, what the world teaches us about joy is that it is when you are receiving what you want, when you are, you know, when things are going the way that you had hoped, anticipated, expected, that's kind of when joy comes in because, well, you have an expectation or you have a desire for something, and when you receive it, then that means that you are joyful. Now, there's a little bit of a problem with that when it comes to a joy that lasts, because if you start putting your joy in the expectations and the things of this world, then necessarily so, the joy that you are seeking or even that you might receive from the things of this world at some point will come to pass. At some point, the things that the world promises you will bring you joy, though it may fill you for a time, are only temporary joys. But the joy that Christ offers to us, he says this is a joy that will be a joy in full. So not one that stays, you know, at this level and then slowly winds down and goes away, but a joy that remains full for the duration of your life, no matter what may be happening. Now, all of us here at some point were very young children, and maybe we look back and maybe remember Christmas and gifts that we received as children. I know my older brother and I, before my little brother was born, you know, we lived in a very humble apartment. It was a small two-bedroom apartment in Chicago, is where I grew up. And, you know, we really looked forward to Christmas because, you know, we never felt like we were left wanting, but Christmas, we knew, was a time where we would get a present. And yes, being a, you know, of humble background, my father was a pastor as well before he passed away. But, you know, we looked forward to Christmas because we actually would get one Nintendo game to share. Yeah, now you guys are kind of like, wow, just one Nintendo game, right? Nowadays, I mean, Caleb, his grandma's, you know, they're showering him with multiple gifts when it's not even Christmas, right? A lot has changed over the years. But my older brother and I, we would so look forward to it. And, you know, we're talking about like 8-bit graphics. Now there's VR and all sorts of crazy graphics and things that kids are playing these days. But, you know, we'd get our one new Nintendo game. You know, and we'd pop that thing in and, you know, it wouldn't start up, so we'd have to take it back out. And everyone had their own strategy. Yes, exactly, right? So you got to blow on the cartridge and, you know, got to have the specific way that you do that. And then you kind of jam it back in the system and voila, it's on, right? And there's an incredible joy that we experienced when we played this game. We've been anticipating this game together. Oh, can you wait? Oh my gosh, it's going to be so awesome. And there was this one game called Contra, which was a really fun game. It was a two-player game, so we didn't have to wait for each other to finish the game, and we played together, and, you know, there was a secret code that you could do for, like, 30 lives, and so you could play till the very end, and we would just spend so much time just filled. I mean, we were joyful. We anticipated that gift, and when we finally had it, it was so amazing. And that would last for about a few days, maybe a week. And then after we played that game to death, the joy level would kind of, you know, dwindle down a little bit. We've already beaten the game like 10 times. But, you know, it's just a small picture, right, of the kind of joy that the world promises. And we see that in a lot of aspects of life. You know, it's, you know, take this pill, you know, buy this pill and you'll lose weight, you'll feel great and you'll have joy. You know, join our dating website. You'll find your significant other right away and it has all these different components that finds the perfect person for you and you'll have joy. Make money quick. You'll have joy. And so the world, it promises joy in so many different ways. Try this, try that, try this, try that. Whatever will stick for a certain amount of time that will have joy. So we jump from temporary to joy to temporary joy to, well, we're trying to figure it out. And all along we forget. We're distracted from the reality that the true joy that lasts forever is not of this world. I think that's part of the celebration of Christmas, is that God himself came into the world to dwell among us. I mean, think about that. He's not of this world, but he came into the world to offer us a joy that is not of this world. Even the very good relationships that we have with family and friends and loved ones, if our joy is completely put and placed in those people, I'm sorry to say, even those things at some point will fail you. That joy, if it's just in that person, in that loved one, can be taken from you by disease and by different things that are in this broken world. And so as believers, we have this joy available to us that comes only through the person of Jesus Christ. And that's what it says in verse 24, right? He says, ask and you receive that your joy may be full. That means complete. It means not lacking in anything. It means not wanting for more. It means something that will not ever fail you. That's the kind of joy that Christ promises to us. And so there's a few things, just a few points that I want to talk about together today as we think about what does it mean to have joy? What must we do to have this kind of joy, to be reminded of the joy? You know what, right now I'll say, if you are a believer of Jesus Christ, whether you feel it or not at times, the joy that he promises to you that is eternal is actually with you. And we're going to talk about that together today. How is it possible that even when you're going through the most sorrowful times in your life, through the most painful times in your life, through the disappointments in your life, how is it possible that I can say to you right now, or that the Word of God can say to you, that you still have a joy that is eternal? Well, these are the few things that I want to talk about. The first thing is this. To remember that joy that we have as believers, the first thing that we must always do is look to Jesus. We look to Jesus. Not to anything around us, not to the next shiny thing or the next thing that we're anticipating in this world that might give us a temporary joy, but we look to Jesus. When we're in times of despair, when we're in times of sorrow, when we're in times of disappointment, and perhaps there are some of us here right now, even as we sit here, that's why you're here, because you need to hear the Word of God to be encouraged about something that you're going through right now. And God wants to speak to you and say, look to Jesus. I want us to look at verses 16 through 18 one more time, because it is a little bit, it can sound a little confusing as Jesus talks. He says, a little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, what is this that he says to us, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father. So they were saying, what does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about. Now, as you read that, it's kind of like, what is he talking about? Well, the first thing I want to highlight here is this. Here is Jesus right before them, and he knows that he's about to go to the cross to die. He knows what he's about to do, though he's lived a perfect life, though he has never done anything outside of the will of God the Father. He knows that he is about to go to the cross so that we, humanity, can have a chance to be in a relationship, a right relationship with God. He knows what he's about to do, but he takes the time to care for his disciples. That's actually what he's doing here. He's trying to explain to them that there is still hope. There is still reason for joy, even though you are going to experience something very difficult in life in the very near future. But the part that I want to talk about is this. You see that the disciples become confused about what Jesus Christ is saying. And why is that? You see, Jesus is speaking his word to them. But their immediate response, perhaps it seems though they want to ask him for more clarification, is they turn to one another and say, hey, do you know what he's talking about? Hey, do you understand what he's saying? And the more that they looked away from Jesus and to even one another to try to figure this out, the more they became confused. The more they had questions about what is it actually that he is talking about, and Jesus Christ all along is right there. And we're going to see in the next point that indeed Jesus Christ clarifies it for them because he cares for them. He wants them to know that there is hope and that there's peace and that there's joy in knowing him and in believing in him. But their immediate response wasn't to just ask him. It wasn't just to just look to him, him who was Jesus Christ, who was there, right there before their eyes. And instead they turned to one another. And I think that there's something about that. I know it's just a small point. But too often I think that we as well, in the same way that disciples became distracted even, they hear the word and then they look around and ask one another rather than going straight to him, looking to Jesus for the answers. And I wonder if there are times of confusion in our lives, times when things didn't work out or things weren't panning out the way that we had hoped, or times that things were very difficult in life, times where we had doubt perhaps about God's character and who he is, rather than going to look at Jesus and his promises and his word, we go elsewhere. We go to the world and the world's philosophies. We go to our friends who, you know, maybe they have an answer. No, Jesus has the answer. I think we need to learn to look to Jesus. If we're going to remember that joy that's in full that we have, if it comes from Jesus, then we look at Jesus, we go to him, we remember the promises of God. And I promise you, God promises you as you seek him, as you look to him, he will give you the answer that you're looking for. And it might not always be an audible. If you have two choices, he tells you, go this way or go that way. But he'll make it clear to you the answer to trust in him, to hope in him. And that, knowing that you have him, will give you joy, will fill you with the joy that he promises. The second point is this. So look to Jesus. And this second point, very simply, is believe the gospel. Believe the gospel of Jesus. When you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is when you receive this joy that is in full. If you don't know Christ, you don't know joy. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then there is no shot, no chance for you to have this joy that is full. I don't care what the world promises to you about how full your joy is going to be because of this or that thing or this or that person or this or that accomplishment or achievement. There is no full joy apart from a relationship, a right relationship, a faith relationship with Jesus Christ. And so this second point is simply believe the gospel. And how do I get that from this passage? Well, you see, the disciples are confused about something. They still do not yet know what it means, though Jesus Christ, in the previous passage before this, has promised them the Holy Spirit. He said, I need to leave so that you can have this gift of the Holy Spirit, so that you can have the presence of me with you forever. They don't know exactly what that means quite yet. Now, they're going to understand that when they see Christ again, but at this point, they don't know what it's going to look like for the leader that they've been following to give his life on the cross. It doesn't jive together with the anticipation that they've had that Jesus is going to rise as king in this world. And so they're confused. They're not sure. But Jesus Christ doesn't chastise them. He doesn't say, you idiots, you've been following me for these past few years and you still don't know what I'm about to do for you and for humanity. He doesn't do that. Because he cares for each of us. He knows our hearts. He knows the things that we desire. He knows the things that are on our minds. And this is what he says in verse 19. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, is this what you are asking yourselves? What I meant by saying, a little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me. So he's looking to answer their question. You see, he takes time. The God of the universe, Jesus Christ, the Word become flesh, he takes the time to actually see what they're worried about. He takes the time to actually see what's bothering them. He knows their hearts. Again, showing who Jesus Christ is, that he's God, become flesh. Still fully God and yet fully man, and he cares for them. And he needs to remind them about what's going to happen. He needs to tell them this gospel message. And I think this is the Advent season is a perfect time as we anticipate celebrating the birth of Christ. We also cannot separate that from what his purpose coming into the world was. He's the Word become flesh, to dwell among his creation. But why? So that he could save creation, redeem creation, so that we glorify God with our lives. And so look at in verse 20, this is what he shares. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again and your hearts will rejoice. And no one will take your joy from you." Now that's a key part that I want us to listen to in verse 22. It says, "You will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." What God has given and promised to you, when you receive it, there is no power in heaven or hell or on this earth that can take that away from you. It is an eternal promise to you as a believer. And where does the gospel come in? That's what he's talking about. He's saying, "I am going to go to the cross. I am going to leave you for a time. I am going to take the wrath of God that you deserve, the punishment that you deserve. I'm going to do that on your behalf. And you're going to be sorrowful. I know that you love me. You've been following me. I love you." And so losing me is going to be painful. Seeing me, your leader and friend, die on the cross, the Messiah dying on the cross, that is going to have a real effect on your life. There's great sorrow. You're going to weep. You're going to lament. But look what it says. It says, in everything, the way that God works is so fascinating. That in the midst of what ought to be the most sorrowful time, in the midst of what ought to be the most terrible of times, God flips it around and says, that's going to turn to joy. You might experience sorrow, you might experience pain, but all those things are going to flip around. And you're going to have joy that lasts forever, that no one can take away. You're going to have glory in Christ because of the victory that he has over death and sin. That's what he's talking about. He says, you're not going to see me. I'm not going to be with you for a while. I'm going to die. But you're going to see me again. Not only in the resurrection, but remember what God has promised when he leaves, what gift of God that he gives to us. Yes, he's given to us his son, Jesus Christ, but also the third person of the Trinity. We can't forget the power of the Holy Spirit, God, his presence with us and in us as believers for all eternity until we see Jesus Christ again. That ought to give you joy. Joy that you are sharing in the victory of God. That you're sharing in the glory of God because of what Jesus Christ did upon the cross. And, you know, I kind of thought about it, you know, especially, you know, it says in verse 21 when he likens it to when a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Now, obviously, I can't personally, you know, relate as one who's giving birth, but, you know, from what I remember with Caleb, when we were ready, you know, Esther was ready and to deliver, and we went to the hospital, Back then, I mean, there's no such thing as epidural, okay? So they're talking about real pain of natural childbirth. But I remember Esther wanted to kind of see what that pain was like, you know, before saying, okay, I want the epidural. And so I remember standing, you know, by her bed, and, you know, the contractions, you know, the real ones, you know, they started coming. And as a husband, I felt absolutely powerless. Because I had never seen, I mean, she has a pretty high pain tolerance, at least compared to me. I'm like, oh, you know, I get a little paper cut and I cry about it. But my goodness, seeing the, you know, like, just the pain of the contractions, my goodness. Like, I can't say I felt her pain because that wouldn't be doing it justice, but man, it was an incredible thing to be a part of or to witness. And actually, I hope this isn't too much information, but she pushed actively for 3 hours. 3 hours. And, you know, Caleb, probably my fault again, but his head, I think, was a little too big, you know, and he didn't really move much. And so, actually, we ended up delivering via, like, an emergency C-section for Caleb. But I was thinking about that, you know, in this particular verse. You know, when a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. There's real pain. And it's hard. But when you have a baby that, you know, that's delivered and you hold that baby in your arms and you hear the cry, there is something that is, you don't think about the other things that just happened. Right? I mean, it's this life that you have and a blessing from God. And that's what he's talking about here. He's about to go through something. And you're about to go through something. That's what he's talking to the disciples. That it's going to feel so painful and so real. But when you see what it's all about, that's what the gospel is. When you see what it's finally all about, oh, man, you're not going to be thinking about all this time. You're going to think about Jesus, what he did, what he made possible upon the cross, and his death, and his resurrection. So that's what he's talking about. He's saying, we got to believe in the gospel, right? That hour that he talks about, the woman, the hour has come. That hour did come for Jesus Christ. The hour where he would give his life upon the cross. That hour where he would somehow, in some mysterious way, experience that kind of separation that we deserve from God the Father. The wrath of God upon his shoulders. He experienced that on our behalf. That was the hour. But man, on the third day, he rose again. On the third day, he defeated death. He defeated sin. And we take part in that victory together. Amen. So that means no matter what you may be going through, when we say we believe in the gospel, it means we believe that there is a joy that the world cannot take away. We have a joy that this circumstance cannot take away. We have a joy that this disappointment cannot take away. We have a joy that this betrayal cannot take away. We have a joy that this disease cannot take away. Nothing can take away this joy because God has given to me this joy. He has secured this joy when he went willingly to the cross on that hour. And so when even everything is going awry in life and we have all kinds of questions, we have the joy that is full because we have Christ. We have a joy that is full because he has secured it for us. Lastly, I want to talk about this. So we look to Jesus, we believe in the gospel, and now it's just to simply grow in love with Jesus. Grow in love with Jesus. Now, I sometimes take a step back and I think about my relationship with God. I think about my walk with the Lord. And sometimes there's pockets of my life as I reflect where I feel like I know that God is with me. I believe in who he is. I still pray. I read the Bible. But there are times when I think that we go through life and there's not an active kind of growing in love with him. It's like, okay, I'm saved. I know I'm a believer. I know that he loves me. But there's an aspect of getting to know Jesus Christ more intimately that is so different. Can you imagine if, you know, you get married to someone and you say, okay, well, we're married now, and then you don't take time to try to get to know that person anymore? I mean, that would be kind of a sad relationship, wouldn't it? Hey, well, we're already married, so, you know, why do we have to grow to love one another more? Didn't we already say, hey, I love you, we made our vows? The relationship that we begin with the Lord is not one that just kind of stops there so that we can look back at it and say, hey, wasn't that great when I accepted you as my Lord and Savior? It's something that's meant to be lived out, and it's something that's supposed to be together through the trials, through all the difficulties of life, that you're growing more in love with Christ because he, at all times, is going to reveal to you his character. He'll never go apart from his love. He'll never go apart from his grace. He'll never go apart from his justice. He is who he says he is. And the amazing thing is this, when we look at verse 23 to 24, it says, in that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Now, we talked last week a little bit about this idea of going to God in prayer, that prayer is personal, and it's about that relationship, if you remember, that intimacy with Christ grows through our times of prayer as we come before him. Though he knows our hearts, though he knows our issues, though he knows even our doubts and our desires, he still wants us to learn to go to him in a real way. And so there's this idea where it says that your joy may be full. Right before that, what does it say? It says, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So it, again, is going through this reality that to grow in love with the Lord means to interact with him. That's why there's this idea of asking and receiving. And it's not an ATM. It's not going somewhere and saying, boop, God, I want this, ask, I receive. But it's a real understanding that as you ask, the question is being asked, God, are you truly who you say that you are? And what you receive is the answer every time. Even if you don't get the thing that you're asking for, you will always get Jesus, who will give himself to you. He has already given himself to you. And the joy that he has given to you is always with you through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we have to remember that. We have to learn to ask. We have to learn to go to God. We have to learn to be a part of this relationship that we have begun, this journey that we have begun. We can't just be complacent. We can't just say we're Christians and just kind of live life however we decide to live. He has to be a part of it. Not only a part of it, he has to be the driving force of our lives. So he says, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Guys, the joy is already full if you're a believer. But experiencing that fullness of joy comes as you grow in your walk with the Lord. Maybe there are some of us here that are going through difficulty right now. Maybe there are some of us here who are going through hardships. Maybe we have confusion. Maybe some of us here even have doubt about who God is. A doubt about the faith that we once professed or proclaimed. Let's go to God. Look to Jesus. Believe the gospel. So you have to remember the gospel. What is it all about? It's not all about you. It's all about him. And grow in love with Jesus. Learn to interact with him, to walk with him. And he will shower you with his grace. He will shower you with his promises. And will be filled with a joy that is everlasting. Let's pray together. Let's just take one moment to respond in prayer. Will you simply ask of God to fill you with the joy that only he can fill you with? What has brought you down? What is troubling your heart? What is distracting you from looking at Jesus Christ and what he's done for you? God wants you to be filled with joy each and every day. The fullness of joy is already yours in Christ Jesus, but he wants you to experience that each and every day. And all you need to do is ask, and you will receive. Can you take one moment? Let's ask that of God. God, I want to experience your joy. God, I want to live my life in a joyful way. God, I want to live in the joy of the victory of all that you have done upon the cross in your death and resurrection. Can you just pray that for a moment, and then I'll close us. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you again that we can interact with you even in your word. That your truth for us is so real, and as we continue on in this season of Advent, as we reflect on our relationship with you, as we anticipate celebrating you coming into this world, but again, your second coming as well. God, that we be so filled with the truth that the fullness of joy is already ours. And when we forget, may we look to you. When we forget, may we remember and believe in the gospel yet again. And may we just learn to grow more and more in love with you each and every day. Fill us with that joy, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.